fourth generation native of Fleming County, and her name is Mary Bailey. Mary, where did your people come from besides being four generations here in Kentucky?
Well, they originally settled in Virginia, but Virginia was divided. When Kentucky was divided into a state, that left part of the land from Virginia into, as Kentucky, and Mason County was part of that territory. And now I had three generations that lived in Mason County. Then my father had moved to, no, his father had moved to Fleming County, and my father lived in Fleming County.
Okay, and you've been married to this fiddler here for a few years, and I think I think having lived with someone who's learning tunes all the time and going to play for dances and traveling here and there, I want you to comment on what it's like to be the person who's listening while someone's learning a tune. A few minutes ago you said something about when we were putting up the peaches. What was that like?
Oh, well, I was teaching school, and I just had 3 months off, and I'd always try to can, and we'd have garden, and I would put that, save what I could, and so I heard about a special on peaches, and instead of buying one bushel, I brought back two, thinking my husband would help me get them ready, and he thought it was a dull occupation. He had his radio on the table where we were working, and he was listening to this music, and all of a sudden this beautiful waltz, and they called it the 50 Year Ago Waltz, came on, and he hadn't heard it before. And he said, oh, listen to that. And I was peeling away and still pushing pans at him. But he says, well, I'll see you later. And later was the next day. He left and got his fiddle out, and I could hear him trying to pick out the piece that he had just heard. But he mastered it. It took him a few days to do it, but he came through. But it took me an extra day to get my peaches canned, but I saved them.
So you've gone lots of times whenever he played to go along, make sure he's okay and gets home and all that like. What is that like to be the one who's sitting and listening instead of the one who's playing and performing?
Well, I think I was more nervous than he was, because I just have that tension that builds up. But I've always gone with him, and I know that he has talent that a lot of people don't have, and I always would go whenever he would want to go to one of the, especially in the summertime. Now, in the wintertime, maybe I didn't travel with him as much, but in summertime, I'd go all every time and be with him and whatever he wanted to go to. Well, I would go. Sometimes it'd be awfully hot days that I would sit there, but I'd always have a good meal, and so I enjoyed the good meal and the fellowship with different people that we met. We have met a lot of good people over the years.
It's a way of expanding your social horizons, isn't it? Yeah.
Right.
You said a while ago, well, you got to a trip to Washington.
Yes, I got to go with him to Washington, and I was there 3 days. And they served Kentucky food. That was for Kentucky, you know. They were representing Kentucky. So Kentucky people had the old ham, Kentucky ham, and they barbecued chickens, and then they had barbecues, and different crafts of Kentucky was represented there. But I had to leave the third day. My mother fell, and I had to come home. And the first time I flew in an airplane, I was scared to death.
But me too.
I loved it after I got in the plane and saw how nice and how beautiful it was to look out over the country and see even above the clouds. We were above the clouds some places. But then when they come to land, well, you could see the territory, and it was just marvelous.
Tell me about making transparent pie. Would you talk about that just a minute?
Well, transparent pie is a... I didn't know it at the time, because my mother had made them since I can remember. But when I got out other places, they didn't know what transparent pies were. I think it's right around this area, too, because when my daughter lived in northern Kentucky, I took transparent pie one time to one of their dinners, and they all wanted to know what transparent pie was and how it was made and who where it came from. They had heard of chess pies, And chess pies, you can find them in a lot of the Southern recipes books. But it has cornmeal in it. And a transparent pie is just simply eggs, butter, sugar, and I put lemon in mine to break the sweet taste, and some vanilla.
No buttermilk or milk,
no.
Then. So the difference between a transparent pie and a buttermilk pie is the buttermilk has... I make a buttermilk pie that I got a recipe from North Carolina, and it has butter and eggs and sugar and 3 tablespoons of buttermilk in it. So the transparent pie doesn't have any milk.
No. Well, now some recipes calls for cream.
Oh.
But I have that recipe, too. But I don't use cream.
Are you making the recipe that your mother makes?
I have the recipe that my mother makes. But no, this one I have now. This one is one that came from Mrs. Staniford. That I'm going to serve you today.
Oh, okay. Good, good.
Let me think just a minute. Oh, what kind of crust goes with a transparent pie?
Plain crust.
Do you bake it before you put the pie in,
no,
or is it?
No, you make your crust, and then you I melt my butter and my sugar and blend it together and add my lemon juice. Now, a lot of people don't add lemon juice, and that makes it not so, doesn't have that fainty taste. That's why the lemon juice is added with your vanilla.
I can hardly wait. Let me ask you if you're familiar with bird goo stew.
Yes.
What is it?
It's, I haven't made it, but we have been to bird goo parties. And they put different kinds of meat, pork, and sometimes it was supposed to be wild meat. They would have rabbits and squirrels and that type. But they just use pork and beef around here. And it's got different kinds of vegetables, too. And they they cook that over a period of time. And then they'll add their corn at the very last because it sticks. And they put it in huge iron kettles and outside. And they'll bake that. They'll cook that for maybe 4 or 5 hours. And they do have very good parties around here.
Is the corn... A dried corn when they put it in?
No, it's just canned corn. But when you add that to it, it's starchy. Corn is starchy, and it'll stick to it. So they add that at the very last so it won't stick. And they serve it with corn pone or maybe just cornbread.
I've never had any of that. I think that's a true Kentucky dish there. Let me ask you something else about Alfred's playing. Which tune is your favorite tune?
I love to hear him play the waltzes.
Do you like that 50-year-ago waltz that you were talking about that he left to go play the... You don't hold any grudges on that, then?
I don't hold any grudges, no. I always enjoyed the waltzes more than the other tunes.
Mm-hmm.
I never did learn to square dance very much, but I would go with him to the square dances.
Mm-hmm.
But I never did dance too much. I didn't know how and wasn't... Well, I'd learned to dance a little at school, but that wasn't like they dance at the square dances.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mary. I appreciate you putting this on.
Well, I'm really a school teacher. I'm not much on this filling, but I'm glad that you came today.
I'm talking to Mrs. Alfred Bailey. Mary Bailey is her given name. In Flemingsburg, and how long did you teach in Fleming County?
Well, I've taught school 33 years, and 30 of the years was in Fleming County, and 25 of those years was in Flemingsburg Elementary School here.
Mm-hmm. And some of the other projects that you've worked on while you were here, you were researching your ancestry to earn your Daughters of the American Revolution. Would you like to comment and detail on that a little bit for me?
Well, after I got out of school, I wanted something to do, and my father told me that I would be eligible if I ever wanted to, that he had papers in the lockbox, that his guardian had put had saved for him when his father passed away, and mother. So I had those
to go on. And then I had a relative here, too, that insisted that I should work on that project. So I dated back to 1747, I believe. It was the earliest date that I had. But I found that in the Mason County Museum. The other Glasscocks had settled in Mason County, and they had traced the papers to Virginia. And I went in on Lieutenant Thomas Glasscock. Now, that's on my father's side. And I had to go back six generations. But I just had to go back four because two had been established, and I used their national number. But now I was admitted in 1981 to the DARs. Uh-huh. And I'm now the national chairman, defense chairman of the of our chapter, William Dudley chapter of the DAR.
And is that in Fleming County, or does that combine with Mason?
No, Fleming County has a chapter of own, and Mason County has two or three chapters. They also have a Daughters of American Colonists, and I could belong to that, but I haven't ever filled out the papers for that.
Maybe we'll get busy and do that one of these days.
that research was enough, but it was very interesting. I had to find the marriages, where they were born and where they died, and all of that had to be certified. And but I was lucky. I had to write a few letters, and then I used videotapes from the library, and I went to the Mason County Museum, and I found everything that I didn't have my father hadn't kept or wasn't on his records mm-hmm. that they had given for him.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm glad we thought to add that.
On a tour this spring, I got to see where the Hilton, Capitol Hilton, where we were to meet for the National Defense Chairman's Dinner. Uh-huh. And I was there that day, but I was in a tour guide, and I didn't get to go. I hated to leave my tour because we were going to the Capitol that day, that morning, that I was supposed mm-hmm. to go to the luncheon for the DAR. But when we were on our tour, our tour guide showed us also the Continental Hall, which is the national building for the DAR papers and the DAR meetings that they have in the national government.
So they have all the records there.
Yes, all the records are there. Mm-hmm.
Tell me about Salinfried Kelly,
well,
please.
Well, first I ever heard of Mr. Kelly, I called him. We is having a fiddling contest here in Flemingsburg, and he comes in here and he had this old ragged shirt on, a jacket, and I had the sleeve tore all the shirt, and he had his daughter with him, and he had her dressed awful. They looked like they were ready for poverty, I mean, which they did. And he gets up and plays to entertain the crowd before the fiddling contest starts. and he had his fiddle wrapped up with tobacco cotton at the top of it, and told how many contests he'd won. But he played all of his pieces in old-time minor keys. He played them back the way they was played 200 years ago. And he played this piece, The Fox Chase. He got up there and played it, and he barked like a dog, and he put all the parts I did and more too, and then he had the pup and the fence, and it just tore the crowd all to pieces when he played. And he had an old cap on, and every time after he'd get through playing, he'd put the cap down and sit down on it. And he said, we was playing in the contest, and he said, all sitting there by each other, and he said, no wonder I'm not doing any good. He said, you boys, he said, to get out there, he said, your fiddles are squalling like wildcats. But he didn't win, but everybody felt so sorry for Mr. Kelly, because he was looked so needy and all, that they made up money and they give him gas to get back on in groceries. But later on, we went to Natural Bridge one night, my wife and me, to play in a fiddling contest. And who showed up but Mr. Kelly, dressed up in this nice suit of clothes, and was a very distinguished gentleman, played in the contest.
Did he have his poor little daughter with him that time?
No, it was nothing said about it. But he was a nice old man, and he played in a tradition that most of us can't touch now. Let's put it that way. He played in G minor, most of his pieces.
G minor,
woo. He played Blackberry Blossom and G minor and all those pieces, and he played a pet of piece he called Wild Hog and the Red Brush. And I'd give anything for to learn it, but it sounded like an old hog was squealing. But he played all of his old, but he could really play the fox chase, Mr. Keller could. And he played a little different type of fiddle when he played a natural bridge, but he's a real quaint old-time fiddle player that went back a long ways.
Well, I appreciate you telling me about Sanford Kelly. I've been trying to dig up some information on him, and here you had it right here.
I had the information.
Okay, we're talking about fiddlers here, and you were talking about Tommy Riley?
Tommy Riley.
Where was he from?
He was from Bath County. Look, all the fiddle players come from Bath County. Most of them, when you trace them back around here. And he played these old-time tunes, old-time hornpipes, and all. And he was a mighty good one. He was champion Indiana and Kentucky both at the same time one time. He moved to Indiana finally, went to Marion, Indiana.
Uh-huh. About what year, about what time was this? Was it before the Depression? Or?
Yeah, it was my grandfather's day. It was about 100 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah, 90 to 100 years. I heard him when I was just a very small boy, play over the way. It's the only time I ever heard Tommy Riley, and he's an old man now.
Is that right?
Yeah. And he was really good.
And then you knew another fiddler named Rollins. Was Rollins the same?
He's a little different type fiddle player. He a little more modern than Tommy Riley, but he was a good one too.
Was Rollins from Bath County also?
Yes.
Was he the same? Was he fiddling at the same time Tommy Riley was?
A little older than me, 10 years older than me, Carlton Rollins was. He's been dead 15 years, hasn't he? Something like that. He's a real good friend of mine. But I never knew Tommy Riley. Only my come with my grandfather to hear him play in a fiddling contest, or he had a fiddling contest. He got so good nobody would play against him. And he was having one here in Flemingsburg at the old courthouse. So I come along, and that's the first time I ever heard Georgie Lee Hawkins play.
And down here at the Flemingsburg Courthouse.
Yes.
About when was that?
Well, I was about 7 or 8 years old, and that's been about 58 or 9 years.
Do you happen to remember what George Lee Hawkins played by any chance?
Well, he played Martha Campbell that night, and I think Leather Breeches, I'm pretty sure.
Why don't you play a little Martha Campbell right here after we talked about George Lee Hawkins?
Okay, I'll play a little right now.
Thank you.